So my name is Chris McGrath. I run a team within Viacom called the Audience Science Group. A little bit of history, this team was started about 7 years ago to be a center of excellence within the organization around data analytics and data visualization. We sit at a corporate level, so we support all of the brands within the Viacom portfolio. That includes everything from MTV to Comedy Central to Nickelodeon to even Paramount Pictures, which was actually in the news today, unfortunately. And I get asked a lot by people, audience science, that sounds like a really cool name. What do you guys actually do? And for any of you who have kids, it sometimes can be a tough question to answer, right? So what do you do, Dad? Like, really, what do you do? And the really tough issue for me is that as I sit around and watch my kids play on their devices and watch television, I have to lie to them about what I do every single day. I lie to them every single day. Because what I really do is I try and get people to consume more content. That is our one and only job of this team. How do we get people to consume more content? How do we get people to watch more television? It is not an easy job, but thankfully I have some very smart people here with me, and we've developed some tools that I think are interesting to the group, and we're gonna take you through some of that. So, if you want to go to the first slide. So one of the issues we're going to talk about today is data democratization, right? It's a word that's a buzzword within the industry. There's a couple of quotes here from really smart people, again, smarter than me. And data democratization, again, what does it mean? For us, what it means is liberating data. It means getting data in the hands of decision makers. It means putting data science tools in the hands of people who are not data scientists. Can you go to the next slide? So why is this important? And what does it matter for us? We've all been in this data situation, right, where we have a question that we want answered, or decision makers at a senior level come up with these questions. What can I do better? How can I be smarter about my content? How can I be smarter about how I do business? So what do? They reach out to an IT team if they're lucky enough to have an analytics team. If they're even luckier, they have a data science team, and they ask their question. We've all been in this cycle. So what does the data science team or analytics team do? They crunch data, they go back and forth around what the actual question is. 2 weeks later, they get a response, and the response is either in the form of some massive spreadsheet that most people can't understand, or they guess as to what two numbers are supposed to focus on, or some smart art from PowerPoint that they think is a solution to a really complex question. So if you want to just click this. It's a cool visualization. So what we tried to do is put tools, self-service tools, in the hands of across the organization. So some of the tools that we're going to show you today is a small snapshot of what it is that we've developed. Now these tools are available to everybody in the organization, from the coordinator to manager to CEO to even chairman of our organization has access and uses this information. And which, believe, she's laughing up front because she knows this is like a game of whack-a-mole when you start giving this information out to all these people. So Fabio and Amy are gonna take you through some of what the tools are and some of the issues that we're trying to solve with this, but I think you guys are gonna really enjoy this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. So we're basically going to share with you our vision on how to make data science scalable across the organization, how we think you can make data science scalable across the organization. So this is pretty much a slide that shows what's the scenario in any corporation, I guess. So, you know, you have like users, which are basically the decision makers. You have data, obviously, and you have the objectives. And then somewhere in the organization, you have a data team that, you know, help the users reach their objective using data and hopefully using some kind of advanced analytics, not just reporting. And that's what we call data science. So, you know, a mix of all those machine learning techniques, modeling, forecasting, and all that stuff. So, and it looks pretty simple, right? But basically what we believe, what we believed for the past couple of years is that it's not sufficient to have a team of advanced analytics people sitting in the organization. It doesn't matter how you structure it, it doesn't matter if it's centralized or if it's decentralized or if it's an hybrid of the two, it's not enough to basically help the decision makers on a daily basis to address their objective. if you expand on this picture, that basically, you know, there is a, it looks much more complicated. So you have a lot of data sources. So for example, in our industry, you know, there is linear TV, traditional TV data, streaming data from the apps, from the web, metadata content, survey data. So there is a lot of data that combined with all the decision makers. So there is people from research, from marketing, from scheduling, from programming, content creators. And each one of these people have different objectives or similar objectives. So creation of media planning, promo placement, targeting audience, commercial placement, and all that stuff. So obviously, so how do you make sure that these people can use data science to, you know, to improve the way they make decision? And so the reason why is, so basically at the end of the day, they need to be more proactive because, you know, the market changes all the time. The industry is complex. You have many ways to consume the content. You have a lot of competitors, and you have a lot of good content. So, a lot of good content to watch. So, it's a complex industry. So, there is always the need of making more informed decision, and that's why we think using data science and advanced analytics, it makes at the end of the day, it helps you make better decision, more informed decision. But the problem is that data science, it's only in the hands of select few. So, you know, like statistician, data scientists, those are the people that can run models and do forecasting and all that fancy stuff. But then we have the problem on, you know, how do you make that stuff available in the hands of the decision maker fast so they can have more informed decision, be more proactive. So the, how do we scale it? So our solution is basically, we had this vision a couple of years ago and we started building this solution a couple of years ago. We basically created an on-demand self-service platform for advanced analytics. So I always make this the same analogy. It's basically like your smartphone. You know, on your smartphone you have different applications. Each application is does a different thing, right? So you have an app to read the news, you have an app to check the weather, you have games. It's the same concept. So we basically create different data applications where each app is tailored to a specific use case. So imagine this ecosystem of application where you have an app to optimize your media plan. You have an app to optimize your promo placement. You have an app to measure affinity among content. So basically, you have this ecosystem of application that help you understand, study your audience, and eventually make decision. And hopefully, most of these apps, you know, are using some kind of advanced analytics. So it's not just reporting, but, you know, the media placement app is using some kind of targeting modeling, look-alike or act-alike modeling, et cetera, et cetera. The thing is that now you don't have to wait for the statistician to run the model for you. You can run the model on demand and get an output fast. So the three concepts that basically characterize this solution is advanced analytics. So we are using some kind of you know, machine learning and advanced analytics just to look beyond the traditional you know, reporting tool. Fast response, so everything is based on the cloud, so you can get a response in seconds. So you know, you don't have to go back and forth with the data team. You just change your question on the spot, rerun it, and get a different answer. And then very important, maybe as important as the advanced analytics, is the interactive data visualization. So we believe that it's very important to have a cool visual interactive, almost like a game. That's why we often talk about gamification of analytics, because we want any level in the organization to access these tools. So from the analyst to the president of the brand, we want the president of the brand to be able to run stuff. And obviously, the president of the brand doesn't have time to go through a spreadsheet of hundreds of columns and rows. He wants to be able to see information quickly and almost like in a fun way. That's why we use advanced visualization, that it's interactive with the user. And we have some examples to show you now. So we're going to go through some examples of the platform to show you you know, how interactive it is. It's self-service, it's on demand, it uses advanced analytics. And the first example, which Amy's gonna take you through, it's what we call the Wheel of Affinity. So basically, you know, this is the final result that can be refreshed on demand by the user. But behind this, there is a lot of there is a lot of data preparation. So there is metadata tagging. There is a correlation to measure affinity among content. And at the end, we visualize the result like this. And the user can refresh this based on the audience that they want to target. Amy, do you want to?
Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Amy Sinensky. I'm Vanna Whiting behind the podium, if you can't tell. And so this is a really great example of how we drive insights to our brand stakeholders. And this is a really fun example. Again, it's called the Wheel of Affinity, Content Exploration Through the Lens of Viacom Fans. And this example in particular is really strong to show the relationship between audience and content. So up here, you can see that we have all the Viacom brands accounted for, all the fans of our Viacom brands, versus the content that they consume. And the beauty of this is that we also drill down to the subgenre level. So we're using a subgenre taxonomy to really pinpoint and be more tactical with the content that they like and that they consume. And not only is it audience to content, but it's also content to content. So you can see those synergies across content in, you know, a matter of a couple seconds. And as you go around, again, the beauty of these visuals is that they're interactive, they're exploratory, you can play with them. As Fabio mentioned, we're making these things game-like because the standard Excel just isn't cutting it anymore. To get the insights you would get from this, from an Excel, would basically be impossible. So you can see a couple different things, right? Crime investigation has a strong connection to romantic comedy, rom-coms. And so the darker the blue line, the stronger the connection or relationship. The lighter the blue line, the weaker the relationship. But again, this is a really complex way to tell a nice data story that the brands wouldn't have otherwise. And an application for this, there's a bunch of them. You know, this is really strong for ad sales, identifying the audience and then seeing what types of content that they consume. For programming, where's our white space? What can we potentially get into? Marketing and strategy, right? How do we drive and hone our strategy to make sure that we're hitting certain points of interest? So there's definitely a lot of complexity and insights you can pull from this. And we spend hours playing with this, our brand spend hours playing with this, and so this is a nice example of, again, really showing that audience versus the content.
So this is a good example of how data visualization is important to, you know, to navigate through data to look for insights. So imagine there is like so much information in this circle. Like if you remember how it was when you just started, there are like so many lines. So imagine having these visualized in a traditional like table output. It would be like, you know, it wouldn't even fit on the screen. You would have to scroll up and down. The beauty of this is that you have everything holistically. So you see the whole picture in front of you. So it's easier to find things that you wouldn't see otherwise. And at the same time, it's kind of fun to go through it and it's quick. So now you can see how even an executive would spend 5 minutes to look at this rather than to, you know, look at an Excel or whatever spreadsheet with hundreds of columns and rows. And yeah, so it's interactive, you can refresh it. So if you're targeted a different audience, you can just specify your target audience and rerun it and you will get the result in seconds. So this is just an example. We have another example now.
So one of the cool things about being a leader in this group and starting this group 7 years ago is that that I get to pick the coolest slides to present, and this is like the coolest slide that we have today, right? So this is a data visualization of something we call a day in the life. So what this is minute-by-minute data of everybody watching TV. We've limited it down to a few things, but I'll start in the center, just give you an overview. The center of the big circle, tan circle, is TV set-top box off. It means that the set-top box is off. Doesn't mean they're not watching television. They could be watching an OTT device. They could be doing something else. Just for this example, we're showing it as not being tracked. When somebody turns on their set-top box and goes to a particular channel, that's what the little circles represent. So these are literally people moving between television shows minute by minute over the course of a day. Now, this particular example that we're looking at here is for the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards. This was something that we worked on with Nickelodeon. They had some questions. This is coming up again next month. A few things that we wanted to answer.
But this is, again, focused on this channel, which is why we've limited the channels that are here. So you see Nickelodeon is all the way to the right at an orange color. And this, just to be clear, this is males ages 6 to 11, which is the primary demo for that particular show. So we have different scale on the side. You can see you can slow it down. You can go medium. You can go fast, minute by minute. You can plus 30 minutes. You can pause, et cetera, right? So really what we're trying to understand here, and Fabio can go into more detail as we get to the actual show, which is 8 o'clock, so drum roll, please. We're only about an hour away. We're going to get there, and you'll see the movement. It's kind of amazing. But we just wanted to get a sense of, like, what are people actually doing visually? Can you make sense of how people actually watch TV? How are they coming to our channels? What are they switching from? What makes them switch? Are they sticking around for the entire program? Why would they leave the program? Is it the host? Is it the commercial load? Are they leaving during the commercials? Are there shows on other channels that are making people switch channels? Now, again, in an Excel format, I can do all of this. I can show all of this information. But in this visualization, I can see it in 5 seconds. I know exactly what's going on very, very quickly. And not only that, the beauty of these tools is that I can run this scenario for any day, any channel, any time, and it'll refresh within 30 seconds. So not just Kids' Choice Awards. I can change demos, I can change channels, I can change the shows that I want to look at and see how all of this is going to change over time. So again, I don't want to steal Fabio's thunder because we're at the big drum roll here. So
thank you. No, I mean, so obviously we really like this example. So, and again, the visualization here is almost, I mean, it's as important as the science behind it that we use to build it, right? Because imagine having this in a traditional output. I mean, I wouldn't even know how to visualize it. It's a minute by minute. There are like 1,440 minutes in a day. I know that because I helped build this. And so imagine that times the number of network, times the number of viewers. So it would be like, you know, a gigantic spreadsheet or whatever. So here you have the whole picture in front of you. You can really, and obviously, you know, different users would see different things. So like a scheduler would use this in a different way from a content creator that knows exactly what happened at minute number 3 during the show or the pre-show, et cetera, et cetera. So, and obviously, this is not going to answer all the questions, but it gives a great start. You know, you start with the overall picture, eye bird view of what's happening during the day, and then you can always drill down running extra analytics.
This is 8 into Cartoon Network.
Or is it 8 or 8:30?
7:30 into 8 is when you really start to see the shift, but you see throughout the Kids' Choice Awards, and they had a really strong lead out, so there's a lot of Nick activity. Through the overnight hours, you see a lot of Disney popularity, which is funny to see, but Nick definitely dominates kind of that whole day part.
And another thing that we're going to do with this tool is we will overlay the commercial data. So you will see things like when there is a commercial going on, the network with flash. So, like, you know, you see exactly if that is driving audience out of that specific network or not. So there's a lot of information. And then we're going to put like a switch where you can change the color based on gender, so you will have pink dots for girls and blue dots. So, you know, we're gonna keep having fun with this visual for a long time. So I guess now next, the questions are at the end, right? Next, we're gonna show the actual platform to show you how interactive it is and how it's fast and on demand and self-service and all that cool stuff.
So this is our beautiful platform. And so based on the keynote, this is really our way of optimizing interop at the company, right? We want everyone to have access to this, making insights really easy. And it's really a one-stop shop to get to all of these apps and use them on demand. And they're completely self-service. And that's really the beauty. Pop in, gain some insights, pop out, finish up your other work. It's just another tool in your toolbox. So this is a cool app that we like. It's called the Affinity Map. And I should take a step back and say that all the apps have the same look and feel. This left collapsible input panel is where you really customize your audience. You can define them very detailed or make them really broad. That's the way that we allow you to be really customizable with these types of applications. So for this example, I decided to choose BET's Being Mary Jane, which just came back in season 4, really popular show. And so what you're seeing here is a circle, the program circled in red, your program of interest. And you see all the affinity or relationships to everything else on TV in that time period. So we like to call this the DNA of your viewer. data network affinity, because it's really showing you in kind of a one-stop shop all the relationships to your program of interest. In this case, it's being Mary Jane.
And that it's based on how the viewers consume the content. So, you know, nodes that are connected to each other, it means they are mostly watched together by the same audience.
Exactly. And so the stronger relationships are going to be directly linked to it. So you'll see a lot of them make sense, right? Love and Hip Hop, Black Ink Crew. And then you see some kids stuff, which shows that there's co-viewing going on. So there's a lot of dimensions to these apps that you can really dig in. You can come to these and answer a lot of different questions. And it also shows you potential opportunities, right? There's a whole two niche audience up here. Around here somewhere, there's basketball. There's a lot of sports. So you really get a nice sense of your total TV universe, again, in a really nice, crisp visual. And just to show you how flexible it is, say we want to quickly update based on demo. Literally took half a second to do that. And you're really seeing the flexibility of this. And now it's tailoring to look at just females within the sales day part of interest. And there you go. You know, again, half a second.
So right there, we basically saved a couple of days just doing that. Because, you know, traditionally you would have... You're like, okay, I want to look at female only. So you would call the data team and tell them, okay, can you rerun it, just filtering on female. So that's what we mean by on-demand and self-service.
And another nice feature is that you could also download the data when you're done. So it's not like we're showing you this beautiful thing that you can't really do anything with it. You have the raw data to take and kind of run with. We want you to have accessibility to all these insights, not only in a pretty graphic, but also at the raw data level as well. So that's called the Affinity Maps. Another that's really cool we call Pathways. And we call it Pathways because it literally shows you the path of TV engagement surrounding any program of interest. So for continuity, we're using Being Mary Jane Season 4. Again, this is where you can get really specific with what you're looking at. We can look at this by time slot, by day part, by day, by demo. Again, being very customizable. But the beauty is you're seeing all the telecasts that people watched before they tuned in for the original episode and all the things they watched after. So the colors pop out right away. Obviously, that's our Viacom properties. Everything else is off channel. But you really get a sense of that TV viewing behavior, what's working, what's not, scheduling implications. There's a lot you can take away with this.
I was going to say, so obviously we build these applications, you know, not in a vacuum. We constantly work with the brands and all the business units to get their input, what they need, et cetera, et cetera. I think we only have 5 minutes left, so maybe we jump into the questions.
Sure. I was just curious about your input data source. So is it which set-top box data, Nielsen data? What's feeding into it?
It's set-top box data. It's sample data. That's pretty much all I'm going to be able to say. Okay. It's illustrative.
I was going to add, obviously, we build a platform with the idea of flexibility in mind, so potentially you can just have input anything. It's based on the cloud, so potentially you could build, if you have an idea for an application and you know what the data source is, then you just build it. It could be anything.
What I would say is just that it's all the commercially available set-top box data that for this example, but it's illustrative for this purpose.
Curious, how much time do you have to spend, or have you found that you have to spend teaching people how to use this, not just how to find it, but and a new hire? But it's a lot of this seems fairly intuitive, but I could see people leaving chunks of it out or not really understanding which buttons to click to make something interesting happen. Do you guys spend a lot of time on training?
So I'll let Amy talk about the training aspect of it. The one thing that I would say is that all of these apps and all these visualizations have been developed with the brand marketing teams, the content creators, as well as the research teams. So this is all based on input from those teams on what it is that they wanted to see. So for the most part, we have about 300 users across the organization. I would say 200 of them are very heavy users of this platform, and they kind of get this to begin with. But it's a fair point that you have it, and I'll let Amy, who is like the best trainer in the world,
tell you about it. I'm the sales queen. The sales queen at Viacom. So as Chris mentioned, we create these apps to answer about 90% of all questions or requests. For the most part, we try to make it as intuitive as possible. I don't think there's anything that can be, you know, uber, uber clear. But we definitely do our best. A big part of my job is really making sure people are comfortable with using this, if not become experts in it. And as people start to play around, I've gotten calls being like, oh, I just found this really cool insight. Like, can we walk through it together? And people just find more and more things as they go through. Again, it depends on your comfortability with numbers in general. Some people on the research side tend to get it very quickly. Others who aren't really in the numbers or data world definitely need a little more handholding to really understand them. But for the most part, I think most people get the basics up front, and then I take them through the bells and whistles.
But we do have trainings. So we do trainings on a regular basis. Like when you sign up for the platform, you are directly prompt to sign up for a training. So we have, I would say we have trainings like every 3 weeks. But then also there is like a tutorial online that you can take that is very simple. It takes you through the applications.
And also the FAQs, which I personally compile just based on all the questions I get on a regular basis from the brands. And that will answer probably a lot of them, right? What's the minute qualifier? What are all these things that I'm looking at mean? So it's a good resource.
So can you use this to identify problems and, you know, kind of combine it with heuristics or other data to understand where, you know, trending things are happening, or where there may be some kind of problem with technology on the back end or whatever?
I'm not sure. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. So my question was, can you use this to identify where there may be problems in, let's say, your distribution system, or problems with maybe a sample, or, you know, areas where, you know, you can actually focus to identify where maybe a program you think should be doing better than it is, but it's not?
Because of technology.
Yeah.
So these examples that you saw, so right now we have like 4 applications and like 5 or 6 one-pagers, interactive visualization. But anyway, so these examples that you saw, they're not, their primary purpose was not to answer that question. But obviously we could design an app just to do that, to find like holes and problems in data or distribution scheduling. But often it happens that using these apps, you see that there is something weird going on. Like, you know, if the sample size is not big enough, or because you get some metadata, so when you get the output, it tells you how big the sample is. So sometimes you do find problems using these apps. They are not designed for that, but they help you. Just like any output, when you see something weird, then you start digging in, and then you find out if it's because of the data or because of something else. So they are not designed for that, but they help also.
Yeah, I just add to that. I think that internally we have some of these conversations that we promote this as directional analytics, right? This is to answer a question, to point you in a direction for the ultimate decision maker. If you came and met with some of the content creators at Viacom, it's actually kind of amazing because, you know, they're not generally numbers people. But when they see some of these visualizations, they're like, yeah, that's exactly what I knew. It's this, that, and the other thing. And it's just a way that we look at it like, I wasn't even thinking of that, but he or she is actually correct. You know, so it's more of, again, like, it's not for ratings, it's not for tracking, it's just for, you know, some measure of decision making to inform or not inform a path that we've decided to go down.
Have you guys started exploring the impact of social trends, social data in comparison towards viewing data, and looking at that as a vector point in the?
You know, obviously across the entire media space, we're all in this major, we spoke about this before, we're all in this like arms race, which is like, you know, to get all this cross-platform reporting and all of this information together so that we can holistically view, you know, how our content is consumed and how it interacts with each other. We're striving to do that. It's very difficult, as you, I'm sure you know. So we have taken some major steps towards that, but we're not there yet. We're getting there, but we're not there yet.
Excellent panel. Thank you, guys. And an excellent demonstration of how all 4 of the layers that John Palfrey talked about earlier work together, and, you know, to show the benefit to the end user and, you know, the ability to sort of visualize things in a great way.